Could your life use some rebuilding? Let's see together how to do that next on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When your car is in need of repair, you take it to a mechanic. Or if you want to remodel your home, you look for a handyman or contractor that is skilled to get the job done. But what do you do when your life needs repair or rebuilding? Let's turn to Nehemiah 4 and find out as we consider another Bible story with Pastor Dave Rolf. This is The Balanced Word. We'll take a look at a great rebuilding project led by Nehemiah for hope and encouragement when we need to rebuild our lives. And you can be sure there'll be some opposition and resistance along the way, just as there was for Nehemiah.
What happened is Sanballat made this plan and he said, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to just start attacking them at different places and it'll pester them to death. It'll drive them crazy and they'll be afraid. And so, but Nehemiah heard about it and he gathered the people together and he said, look, they're planning on making these raids of our building project. And so we're going to stay here. What we're going to do, everybody get armed. So he got everybody swords and spears and everything and whatever weapons they had. And he said, let's hide behind the part of the wall that's already built. And when they come, we're going to be ready for them. Now, Sanballat, like all terrorists, is a complete coward. And so as soon as he realizes they're waiting for him, he's like, oh, man, this is frustrating. And we can't do this. And now Nehemiah put an altered plan into place. And he divided the people up and he said, half the people are going to be working construction. The other half of the people are going to be armed. And therefore, you can protect the construction workers while they are building the wall. So they were ready. This frustrated Sanballat even more. But they got the people together and they said, here's what we're going to do. And they said, not only that, every construction worker, you have a tool that you can use with one hand and you make sure that you have a sword in the other because we're going to be ready for these guys. And not only that, then he put an alarm system in where when, because he goes, yeah, the city's pretty big. I mean, if you've been to Jerusalem, if you haven't, you should go with us next year. But, you know, it could take you a couple hours to walk around the city. And so when they got spread out, that became problematic. So he got some trumpet players, and he said, whenever there's an attack in any area, the alarm goes off, and everybody goes there, and we take care of it. So now they were secure through a new plan. They had an alarm system in place that would alert them to any kind of surprise attacks, and the building project was going really well. And he said, we didn't even change our clothes except to wash them, he said. So he had to get that in there. But then in chapter 5, it talks about the economics of the whole thing, how Nehemiah spent his own money to support these guys, but he also said, those of you who are rich, help out the poor people. Don't loan them money and then take their land away from them. We're all in this together. And so they had this whole plan in place. As a last-ditch effort in chapter 6, Sanballat contacted Nehemiah again, and he sent him a message. He goes, hey, let's get together and meet. Let's have some peace talks. And so whenever people want to have peace talks, it's usually because they want to take advantage of you while you're compromising. But he told them that, and look what Nehemiah said there in Nehemiah chapter 6. He said, so, verse 3, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down and meet with you guys? So then they put out in the next few verses, they put out a memo that claimed that he was a traitor, that he was trying to become a king and all this stuff. He got that and he just wrote back and said, you guys are liars. And then he said, God, strengthen my hand. So it ends up the building was built. The walls were completed there in verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Can you imagine, if you have any idea, the size of Jerusalem? And they had that wall completed, gates on it, in 52 days? That's unheard of. What a rebuilding project. What an amazing accomplishment this was. But the whole time, they have a plan. They're sticking with their plan, but they modify it when they need to. They're praying to God. They're going, God, you take care of this stuff. And earlier in chapter 4 and verse 14, we see this pep talk that Nehemiah gave. He said, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives. He's like giving this Mel Gibson type speech, you know, like he does in all of his movies. And he challenges them and they go for it and they finished it. They did it. They pulled it off. It was amazing. He reminded them of what they were fighting for and they accomplished it. So what does this have to do with us? Well, I don't know if anyone's told you, but you have some things in your life that need rebuilding. Maybe you have just decided to coast. That's not the way to live. There are still things that God wants to do in you and through you and for you. And all of the damage that you've sustained up until this point means nothing compared to what God can do. You're not done yet. It's just you're a mess. And you need to rebuild. And we need fresh starts, all of us. You better expect that where the enemy starts is by telling you it isn't going to happen, is by discouraging you, making fun of you, making you think that it's a complete joke for you to believe that you could ever do anything anymore that's worth anything. And the enemy brings memories of your failures in the past and goes, come on, you never did it before when you were young and healthy. How do you think you're going to be able to do it now? That's ridiculous. And you have a choice. Do you listen to those voices in your head? Do you allow the people who have spoken negativity into your life? Maybe they're even dead, but you still hear it ringing. The fact is, probably your voice is the one that's the most effective at tearing you down as you talk to yourself. And you go, this is stupid. That won't work. That'll never work. You become your own critic. Well, what we learn from Nehemiah is when that happens, it's time to pray. It's time to pray and to go, God, I'm hearing these things, but at the same time, you know I'm still alive. There's still things that I want to do. I still want to have some point to my life. I don't want to just hang it up. I'm not ready to do that, but I feel like it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I think. It's just over. Boy, we need to take that to him first. Again, there's a lot of stuff you can do after you pray, but nothing that you can do when you haven't prayed. Because prayer is where you commit it to him and you're reminded of who he is and who you are. But then after you get past the prayer stage and praying down those negative voices, now you go, I better get to work. Because if all you do is pray and then you don't work, you don't do anything, nothing will ever get better. Whatever your excuse for doing nothing is, it's not a good excuse. Oh, well, I'm still just getting over this. Shut up. You'll never completely get over it until you do something about it. And so, you know, the people had a mind to work. I think we need to ask ourselves, each one of us, do I have a mind to work? Am I in a mental frame of mind where I am thinking in terms of what can I do? Oh, there's so much that I can't do. It doesn't matter what you can't do. What can you do? Do you have that focus? Are you paying attention to an opportunity that you might have? Are you just doing what you've always done? I'm like, okay, I'm just doing this. I'm going to keep doing this. Well, has it been working for you? No, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm in a groove. No, you're in a rut. And having a mind to work, taking creativity in the palm of your hand and saying, I want to be open to doing things differently, but I'm certainly going to try something. You know, that's what we learn from him. But you also see that he had a plan, but he laid out his plan, and his plan was always flexible. It's Nehemiah was such an example of somebody who has a detailed plan that he's always willing to modify. He's like, okay, yeah, we got the building plan. Ooh, boy, but we need to get some soldiers here. It's time to buy weapons. It's time for us to, you know, change our schedule. It's time for us to put in an alarm system. It's time for us to do something differently. So a plan that involves flexibility, that involves, hey, I can do this differently. I can modify, I can adapt to whatever happens. I'm flexible. I think this is where a lot of us fall down, because we get comfortable where we are. Even if where we are is a failure, we go, yeah, but this is who I am. This is what I'm used to. If you are not planning what you can do next, and if you don't have that mind to work, then pretty much things are going to continue to deteriorate for you. But to have a plan and say, but this is according to God's will, here's my plan, but if this happens, I'll tailor it. I'll adapt. I will adjust. I'm not stuck with my plan. I'm starting with my plan. I'm mentally prepared to do something, and now I'm going to work and adapt. I'm going to multitask. Sometimes I might need to have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand, but that's what I'm going to do if that's what I need to do. And so I think for all of us, we can look at our lives and say, okay, are you really happy? Like, is your life, are you thrilled with the way your life is right now? Well, first of all, are you listening to voices? Are you listening to the voices that say, eh, you can't do anything, you're a failure? Are you praying? Are you taking it to the Lord, really lifting it up to Him? Are you ready to take action? Do you have a plan that's flexible, that involves multitasking, that will allow you to then get the maximum out of that which God has given you? And then the other thing that's incredibly impressive here is the teamwork. This wasn't like, everybody do your own house and build your own wall around your own house. This was the realization that if we just build our house and put a wall around it, they can attack us easily, one house at a time. But if we get together, now the families were, he challenged them, not only do this for your family, do it for your house. Do it for you. But their house was built into the wall, and they would each build on the part of the wall of the city that was connected to their family, because they had a greater incentive that way. But it was all about, we're in this together. If they had been divided, they could never have built the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. There's no way. But Nehemiah, as the leader, came in who had nothing to lose. From everything that we know, when this project's done, he's going back to his job working for Artaxerxes. He's a wealthy guy. He didn't need this. He wasn't doing it for himself, but he was challenging them because he wanted his people to end up having their city, their walls around their temple. And so, you know, I think that when we look at our lives, sometimes we just have to say, how does my plan interact with everyone else? How can I work with others? Now, working with others is a pain. It really is. It's a lot easier, frankly, to work by yourself. But the problem is, there isn't anything really great that can happen until we work together with others. It's just the way it is. And especially in the church, it's that way. It's why we, for instance, this Wednesday night, why we celebrate our together. Because we want to acknowledge that who we are is who we are together. We're all in this together. If you become too individualistic, if you become too just focused on your old world so that you don't have associations, you don't have friends, you go, people have let me down in the past, this time I'm just doing it myself, you're doomed to failure. Because life is meant to be lived together in fellowship. That's why, you know, we're called the building of God. We're called the temple of God. We're called the body of Christ, because it's who we are when we are together that matters. The funny thing is, I think in the church often, not just our church, but in the church of Jesus Christ in general, instead of realizing that we have positive reasons why we should bind together, instead what we do is the little Sanballat and Tobiah voices pop up and we gather together with people because it's like, cool, you hate the same people I hate. You're against the same thing I'm against. So let's all bind together as negative people and get together and let's talk about how bad everyone else is. That's fun. It really is, but nothing gets built that way. Things get built by people who work together with others, people who are different than they are, but people who are bound together by a common cause. In the case of the church, it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's people who believe that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead. Those are the people we work with. And as soon as we start putting everybody else down, we fail. But for all of us in our lives, who are we working with? Who's your team? Who are your partners in what you're doing with your life? Until you can make those strategic connections, you'll never become everything that you could be, and neither will I. And that gets messy sometimes, but it's the only way to win. It's the only way ultimately to finish this race that we've started. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves ultimately is, and I just love this where in chapter 6, verse 3, where Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? So I just want to ask you the question, what is the great work that you're involved in? What is it in your life that's so important that you will not allow yourself to be distracted and taken away from the great work that God wants to do in your life? And for some of us, maybe we go, yeah, there was a time when I was doing a great work, but no, what's the great work now that gives you reason to focus your mind and apply your ability to work and to be able to pray and lift up to God to accomplish something, to build something? What are you building? What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? I believe that every one of us needs to find a place where we go, I have a great work and I will not come down. I can't get off track from whatever my great work is. There are always all sorts of other things that are attractive alternatives. Most of us like being Renaissance people where we like doing a lot of things, but at some point you just have to decide, okay, what's the main thing? What are you here for? Now, there might be some of you who are listening right now or here who have never even connected with God. You always thought that religion was kind of nice for people because it gives you a chance to get together and share the same superstitions. And, you know, maybe that's kind of your notion of what religion is and what God is. But then I would just ask you, so what's the great work that you're doing? What is it that makes your life worth living? What is it that causes you to want to get up in the morning and be excited about what you're going to accomplish? What are you building? And for many people, maybe you're in a place where it's like, I just want to build my assets. I just want to build my business, or I just want to raise my kids. Okay, but at some point, you're going to get to the point where you just go, I don't think I have a great work. What I thought I would do never worked out, or what I thought I would do worked out, and then it turned out to be nothing. So if you have not personally met God through His Son Jesus, I can tell you something though. He has a reason for your life. He has a reason why you're even here listening right now, because you can discover the great work that God has for you. And it starts by getting your life right with Him. Or you can just fritter your life away. Or you can be like Tobiah, just making wisecracks about everyone else. Or you can decide, yeah, there's something inside me that says, I would like my life to matter. And so if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never allowed Him to forgive your sins, it's really simple. You just tell Him, okay, I will accept your forgiveness. And I want to know God through you. And if you make that decision, if you make it today, this is where the rebuilding process will start. But for all of us, something that we need to think about every once in a while. What is it that means so much to me that I can say, this is my focus, this is the great work, this is what matters, this is what I want to do that's going to last after me? Because there is something, because God's that way. And I would encourage you strongly to take, and if you don't know what it is, first of all, identify the lying voices and say, that's not right because God's greater than that. And then go to him and pray and ask him for help, and then start penciling in a plan. Start to think of, you know, contingencies. Start, map out what work you can do and then get at it. Go for it. He'll be with you. You'll be amazed. See, when I come to the end of my life, I want to finish my life the day I finish my wall. I want to be able to go, I have, like Paul said at the end of his life, man, I finished the race. And I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because of that, I want to keep building that wall one brick at a time. I want to continue to focus on what matters most, because I want to finish my life when my part of the wall is finished. And I hope you do too. And if so, this is a time to really refocus on what the great work is that God has for you and what he might want you to do that you're not doing. Or what voices he wants you to listen to instead of the ones you have been listening to. But again, if you don't know him personally, it starts right there. You'll pick up your orders today. You will begin. If you give your life to Jesus Christ today, you'll be amazed over the next few weeks how many wild ideas you get. Creative approaches as to how your life can be different than it is. And we don't tell you that. We don't go, yeah, the first thing you need to do is don't do this, don't do this, don't do. No, no. Forget all that don't do stuff. God doesn't say that when you come to him. He goes, man, I have a great work for you. I have something really special that I want to do in your life. And it starts with me wiping the slate clean and forgiving you. If you haven't done that, you'd be a fool if you don't do it. You can either be Nehemiah and be a part of something great, or you can be Sanballat and Tobiah and just continue to be the loser that you are. Well, sorry, I tell you the truth.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing things up in a word of prayer now, here's Dave once again.
God, I'm sure there are people listening who aren't totally sure where they stand with you. Help them to know. They were built, they were designed, they were engineered, they were created for something much more than the garbage they've settled for. Help them to know they can find their great work when they find their great God who will forgive their sins today. So if there are people who haven't done that, Lord, please give them the courage to come down. Just get prayer, just for a couple minutes. To have their sins forgiven and have their lives begin. And for all of us who have done that step, call us back to the work. Give us a mind to work. Give us a focus. Help us to be flexible and creative. Help us to not listen to the voices that are only designed to get us to quit before we start. We want to know what our great work is, and we want to finish strong. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're talking about the joy of the Lord next time on The Balanced Word, when we'll have another Bible story for you from Nehemiah. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.